understanding, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. See? That's this age. And those who are laying in the presence to ripen and to mature. There is therefore nothing more sickening than to see people who have crucified the Son of God afresh and have brought him to an open shame, and those same people who have spoken of in 2 Peter 3, who are the mockers of Christ's parousia, his presence, those irreverent people who hate the elect and persecutor through their vicious tongues, there is nothing worse than to see them at the same table of the Lord, eating right alongside of the same meat, the same manna, the same message with the very righteous of God. So what this proverb is telling you is this. It is painting a picture in your minds of two types of women. Both represent church. One who is a virtuous woman, and the other who is a vile, impious, hateful woman. And the two are sitting at the same table and are eating together of the same meat. Didn't we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I believe it is? Let's just turn if we might. Verses 14 and 15, he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nothing taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of right wiseness, that iniquity was there. Don't we read in the book of Job that when the sons of God came together, Satan came in their midst, and he put a challenge out to God about Job? Fools will walk with hobnail shoes where angels fear to trot. See? Now, so here we have a picture in Proverbs chapter 30. Let's go back again, just look at this. Because it says the earth trembles when it puts it at an unrest. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for the four which it cannot bear. For the servant when he reigneth, and a fool, and that remember that word is Nabal, which means an impious woman, a church, when it is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married. Now that word odious does not mean odorous. I remember Brother Gillis was telling me one time that some old sisters in the church down there in Jeffersonville were sitting there talking very spiritually, you know, and one of them said, Sister, she said, when we come together, she said, I was reading in the Bible, and the Lord showed me that we should make sure that we use the proper deodorant. Because the Bible speaks of an odious woman. But the word odious actually means a hateful woman. See, it's like brother, a good friend of mine, Brother Luke Gibson, was telling me the other night. He said years ago he was dating a girl in the Pentecostal movement, Pentecostal church, and her father was a pastor. And when he started seeing the truths that were being presented through the ministry of Brother Branham, he said he started to examine those things in the scripture, and one day he says his girlfriend came up to him and she said, you know, she said, I was reading in my Bible, and she said that I saw where it said to reject a heretic. And so she said, I went to my daddy. I said, Daddy, what does that mean? And of course, her daddy didn't like what Luke was beginning to see. And so he said, well, I think the Lord was warning you about Luke to stay away from him. And so she told that to Luke. He said, well, isn't that something? He said, you know, just last week I was reading about the great harlot. He said, you don't suppose the Lord was warning me about you? You know, how people can play games, Russian roulette with the word, you know. We had a sister one time who left church. She's sitting there, and halfway through song service, she got up and walked out and left, never came back. So I called and said, you know, what was the matter? She said, well, I was reading my Bible, and I opened it up, and I saw the word, stay not, so I got up and left. There's got to be an understanding. There's a wise virgin and a foolish virgin, brother, sister. And this foolish woman, the Bible lets us know that that this what does it say? The fool. Actually, it's a woman who which is a type of the church, and it says, "For a servant when he reigneth, a fool when he is filled with meat." See, now let's go back to so what this proverb then is telling you is this. It is painting a picture in your minds of two types of women. One who is a virtuous woman and the other who is a vile, impious, hateful woman. And the two are sitting at the same table and are eating together of the same meat. But strong meat belongeth to those who are of full age, and therefore they are only the ones who can handle it and digest it properly. The others will try to eat it up, but they are not built to receive it, so they must reject it. In other words, throw it up. And that is why Isaiah tells us all tables are full of vomit. They have taken the word of God, the meat for the season, and they have ingested it with their own thinking, and they have thrown it up, and so they've taken the word and they've hybrid to their own theology, their own ideas. And it doesn't matter whether they're Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, they've all done the same. But God has called an elect people to receive, thus saith the Scripture, undiluted, unpretentious, virgin pure. Now, notice again in Proverbs 30 and verse 22, it says, "And a fool when he is filled with meat, for an odious woman, for an odious woman when she is married." Now, to get a picture of what this is saying, close your eyes just a moment. I'm going to, by words, try to paint a picture for you. Picture in your minds a table set with the best of meats, delicately cut and arranged. And these are almost a picture in themselves, just beautiful. And so beautifully arranged and shaped in order to set the atmosphere of beauty in the order and arrangement. And this meat is to be set on the head table and presented to a lovely little bride who is all dressed in the finest white linen with lace and embroidery outlining her attire. She has come to this table as part of her wedding ceremony to honor her husband. And she sits down to enjoy her wedding supper. And as she looks up and down the fine table, spread with the most delicious meats, and as she is ready to partake of these delicious food, along comes this vile old hag, who is a very hateful and odious. And as I said, it doesn't mean odorous. She is not so much having trouble with her deodorant, but she is odious, hateful. A very hateful woman. And this hateful old hag sits down next to our little lady who has just become a bride. What a picture we have of the church in the next in these last days. And even the great wedding, which is now taking place in the ceremony, where we have a lovely little bride who has just committed her whole life to her husband, Jesus Christ. And as she sits down to eat of the strong meat that he has prepared for this fine occasion, a feast of spiritual food in due season, she remembers her church order, or shall we say her manners, and she begins to properly to pick up her fork, her knife, and to slice off a piece of this beautiful looking steak, when all of a sudden the vile old woman lets out a mocking laughter that fills the room, and everyone stops to see what is taking place and why this beautiful occasion has been so rudely interrupted, the great interruption, by this ugly, vile, mean as a pit bull old hag. And what the people see is this old, vile, mean and hateful woman sitting down next to this lovely little bride and making mockery of the order in which she is eating so carefully this chosen and delectable meat. So the old, vile, and hateful woman starts slopping into the meat. the meat that was so tenderly prepared for the little elect lady. And this vile and hateful woman begins wolfing down without even chewing it. And then all of a sudden, this old vile woman starts to throw it up all over the table because she cannot handle the meats. Her gallstones act up. She belches out everything that she's been slopping in. What a picture of the hour we have seen in Proverbs chapter 30, in Jude verses 12 and 13, and in 2 Peter. Now notice, I'll just turn quickly if we might. Jude, verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. And the Bible lets us know that winds refers to every wind of doctrine. See? Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We find also in 2 Peter, the same thing, speaking of these who would eat alongside of true. Verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they what? They feast with you. See? Now, so notice what Proverbs is saying, and a handmaid who supplants her mistress to try to gain the marriage and favor the groom. You know, I can just picture this old, vile hag, full of gall, sitting there with vomit running down her clothes, and with flirting eyes she winks at the groom. What a picture. And that's the church today. That is when it says in Revelation 3 that he will spew her out of his mouth. See? Well, now that I've ruined your appetite, let's continue with this thought Paul and Brother Branham are bringing to us and show us in showing us how ridiculous it is that the seed and the shuck could possibly be heir together. They can't. Two different, as different as night is from day. The true spirit-filled Christian, who every thought that they have, they weigh it with the word. Who every action they take, they bring it back to the measuring point of the word. With those who just come, they worship. But Jesus said, we worship in spirit and truth. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See? They're just so different. Although they both may be eating of the meat of the season. And the same meat. The same Bible. Although these two seed are two different women, or by meaning two different churches, yet remember, there is a time that they are together and they're not separated. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 1, Paul says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. In other words, there's a point in time where the two are being raised up together. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 13? He said the Son of Man went forth sowing seed, and behind him came a man dressed in black, the enemy, he called him, the devil, sowing seed in the same field. And he said the seeds would rise up, and the other seed would rise up, the rain would come down, and both the wheat would lift up their hands and rejoice. And what does it say? The tares would lift up their hands and rejoice. For what? The same rain falling on the just and the unjust. The same Spirit of God moving in the elect and those who are not elect. The rain of God, the Holy Spirit, is raining down upon the earth. The Bible says that it says that in that day, men shall run to and fro seeking knowledge, but won't find it. It says the young maidens and the young men, they'll thirst, but it won't be quenched. See, what are they looking for? People, no matter if it's Catholic, no matter if it's Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, any denomination you can think of. They're looking for the Spirit of God to fall upon them. But without the Word, it's void. See? Gifts and callings are without repentance. The Bible tells us that He sent gifts even unto the rebellious also. Isaac sent forth a man to Eliezer to look for a bride. Eliezer brought not only gifts for that bride, but he brought them for her whole family. See? As a Christian nation, so called, this USA, how benevolent the people are. We give gifts to third world nations, to first world, whatever that means. We give gifts to everybody. We send money everywhere. Does that mean they're Americans? You give gifts to people, does that mean that they're your children? No, but you give gifts to your children also. See? Gifts means nothing. It's the giver that we desire. See? And so in Galatians 1 it says, "And I say that the heir, as long as he is a child," in other words, before he's into strong meat, before he groweth up, "differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." We saw in Acts 3:19, that time appointed is the end time when he shall send Jesus Christ, who was appointed unto you. The second coming we're speaking of. Now, notice here, and let me just read a couple things that Brother Branham said here. Paragraph 61-62. He said, "Neither can the spiritual, the natural be heir with the spiritual, no more than Ishmael's children be heir with Isaac's children. No more the carnal can be with heir with the spiritual." Church natural, church spiritual. There's a church natural that these women here type, and there's a church spiritual. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. They're two different separated times, two different separated people under two different separated covenants. Now he makes three points here. Number one, there are two different separate times. One living in the present, now, and the other living in the past. Number two, two different separate peoples. Remember Galatians or Genesis 1:11 says, "Every seed will bring forth after its kind." See? Now, notice in Galatians 1, in verse 6, Paul says, in the first age, notice how it started off wrong. Paul says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Now that word "another" is the Greek word heteros. Heteros. And what it means is not another one altogether as far as numerically, but of a different nature. In other words, heterosexual. Two of the same species, but of a different nature. See? He says, so you have been removed from him that called you unto another. Not another as if it's a different gospel, but it's the same gospel, but of a different nature. See? Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "Would to God that you bear with me a little my folly, indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to be to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." What does the word "corrupt" mean? See? Now get that in your thinking. Because he says, For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, the same word heteros, of a different nature, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit of a different nature which he have not received, or of another gospel of a different nature, he says, you put up with it so easily. Paul said in Acts chapter 15, Galatians chapter 2, he said, "False brethren came in unawares to bring in, to spy out our liberty, and to bring in a damnable heresy," he called it. What was it? They were trying to get people to look beyond the promise of God and to look at what they could produce for their salvation. See? Brother, sister, if there's one thing that you can do to merit your salvation, Jesus Christ died in vain. See? There's nothing you can do except for receive what He's done already. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, not my faith in Him, but the faith of the Son of God, His faith, I'm now living by. He did it all. See? Notice, in John chapter 8, in verse 37, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now you all know that if the Bible tells us that every seed shall bring forth after its kind, then your children ought to at least look like you, act like you in some manner. They've got to have some of your attributes. Then if we profess to be seed of God, wouldn't the nature, wouldn't the attributes of God come forth in manifestation from you? If you had the spirit of Dillinger, wouldn't you rob banks? If you had the spirit of Beethoven, wouldn't you compose music? Then if you had the spirit of Christ, the life of Christ, wouldn't your nature be the nature of Christ? See? And Jesus says, have dubious thoughts of you Pharisees, because you're telling me that you're the seed of Abraham. And that'd be true, you may be natural born. But he said, you do the works of your father. See? He said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. And I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Let him know, hey, we got two different fathers. And the answer said unto him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Yet you do, you do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. See, religious, claiming God to every last bit. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now they heard the audible, but they could not understand it. Hold your finger there, if you would. Matthew 13. Verse 10. And the disciples came unto him and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, the 12, asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. You mean God would purposely hide in the way that He has laid His word together, His thoughts, so that not just everybody could receive it and the same benefit would be brought? Yes. Yes. Why does the Bible tell us in Romans chapter 9, before the two were even born, He said, I hated Esau and loved Jacob, that election might stand? You know, there's many people who cannot understand election and predestination. And how can you understand God if you cannot understand that God predestinated according to His foreknowledge? People say, well, I received eternal life on January 15th of so-and-so year. No. There's only one form of eternal life. Is that right? One form, that's God's life. Is that right? Then in order to have God's life, and what is God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. As a man thinketh in his heart, isn't that what Jesus said? So is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So as a man thinketh in his heart, what you think is really what you are. Then brother, sister, in order to have eternal life, you always had to be in God's thinking. You always had to be part of His Word, part of His thoughts. Then you always have had eternal, because how could you have eternal if eternal means always was, always will be? You just didn't know it. That's why Paul said, and you hath He quickened, made alive, reanimated. So to speak, when you're in the body of this death, you laid in a confused state, not knowing where you came from. But something in your heart crying out, God, I know there's something different about me. I want to know where I came from. I want to know who I am and where I'm going. And so you hath He quickened by His Word, who were dead in trespass and sin, and hath made alive. The seed, the thought, the attribute were God before the foundations of the world. Knew you exactly what you'd look like? You think the virgin birth is miraculous? What about the natural birth where God knew, if you believe that God's omnipotent, that He knew before the foundations of the world all things? God's first thought has got to be His best thought, or we wouldn't be God. There'd be something higher, something greater. And God, before the foundations of the world, knew exactly what you'd look like, knew exactly when you'd be born, knew exactly what your name would be, what your nature would be, knew exactly what kind of thirst you had in your heart. And so then God had to make sure that your parents got together, so that you would have the combination of attributes to produce the looks that He saw before the foundations of the world. And in order for your parents to bring forth that, their parents had to come together to give them those combination of attributes and genes. And brother, sister, it'll be traced all the way back to the beginning. God has got everything under control. There's not one breath that's out of control. The Bible says not one hair of your head that isn't counted. Hallelujah. When the world is going crazy, when the world is just falling apart, there's confusion on the left, on the right, there's one assurance we have. God has everything under control. See? And so Jesus is disputing. He said, now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one God, one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. It's another his own opinion. See? For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Unbelief, see? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Brother, sister, Jesus said, all that the Father hath given me will come unto me, and I will lose none. If God has sent you to hear His word, you will come. The word, like a light, will bring forth the life that already lays there, but is dormant, and it'll start breaking forth like the little lily, up through the mud, up through the mire, up through the muck. What was it doing? Coming forth to the light. You could have been weighted down by bricks and blocks of man's theology. But when the word of God's own word begins to shine in your hearts, up, 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 the soul begins to move toward God. See? Jesus said, why do you not even understand? Why do you not hear God's words? Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Or he that is of God, he that has his source from God. There's something in you, brothers, that you want to hear God's word. See? Now, but notice he's letting them know they are going to follow in their father's footsteps. See? In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 25 to 35, Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside then may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build...
If you're here, Jesus, you're here, and all things are possible. Now that you're here.
Amen. Let's just, if we might, stand to our feet and open his word to Galatians chapter 4. And reading from verse 30 through 31. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And if we just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly believe, Lord, that you have come down in this hour with a shout, according to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, where you said the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, a voice, a trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And believing there's a threefold purpose, a threefold entry, Lord, of your presence among us, that a shout goes forth first, a military command, a message going forth to gather together your elect. Then, Lord, there's a time that we are waiting now for the resurrection of the dead, that we which are alive and remain might be caught up together with them, and then ever be with you, Lord. And so, Father, we ask that you would stir our hearts and our minds to understand the message which you have brought in this hour. The unfolding of your word, Lord, and the bringing forth of Revelations 10 and 7, where all the mysteries of God would be concluded. And Father, we ask that you would anoint our hearts and our minds this day. Father, I pray that you'd help me to get my mind and my thoughts, Lord, put aside, that only, Father, your thoughts and your word would come forth. And Lord, if we be any otherwise minded, as you said in your scripture, then you would reveal it to us. And help us, Lord, to submit ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, unto thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Wednesday night, we read from Brother Branham's message here on The Seed Is Not Air with a Shuck. And this is number 10 in our series. And we read from paragraph 54, where Brother Branham had said the seed started in a slightly doubted a doubt of the original promise. He said, see how it starts low in the doubt in the original promise. And then in paragraph 55, he said, that's how the church starts. That's how it always starts. You start from the bottom. You don't start from the top. And then he went on to say, here we find the beginning of the promises of God being made manifest through a slightly doubted, interrupted program of God. And then he referred back to the garden as being the same sort of interruption where sin entered in. And he said, by misconstruing or doubting one word. You can't doubt or misplace one word of God. That's thus saith the Lord. So we find in then paragraph 57, he said, Sarah being a woman, which is a type of the church, she gave doubt to the original program of God's promised word.
And then he said, here the seed starts then in the promise slightly doubted. And he went on to say that it produced children from two different categories. And he said, the unbeliever cannot be heir with the believer, and that's where the trouble is today. So from paragraph 58 through 65, we see Brother Ram emphasize that the two different seeds produce two different means, or produced through two different means. One was by an act of flesh, one was by an act of promise, that they cannot end up together. They will have to be separated for the heir. They cannot be heirs together. Now, you will find in the Scripture that everywhere the Scripture refers to a woman, whether it's Ruth or Rebecca or any woman in the Scripture, it refers to the church. Now, in some places, if it's a wicked woman, it refers to the false church or to the hybrid church or to the church who has actually fallen away. And when it refers to the virtuous, usually as a bride, it refers to the bride of Christ, the elect of God. And so in looking at this then, we find that in the garden that Satan had said to the woman, she had said to him that God said, we shall not surely eat. And he said, well, he said, you know, God didn't say that, you know, surely you would die. You know, she said, God said we can't eat or lest we die. He said, now surely a good God like that, you know, surely you'll not die. And so he only added one word, not. And I think it's kind of interesting that in this hour, you know, it's one of the key expressions, you know, they say something and say not. And what does it do? It takes the whole thing away. So it's like Dan Quayle had said about Murphy Brown. You know, he said something about Murphy Brown. He really loved her show or something like that. And then when he got done, he said not. Which means it lets you know that it's exactly the opposite. And so when the serpent said, thou shalt not surely die. See? And so we find then that what took place there then is the same thing that took place with Sarah. Is that because Sarah did not have confidence, because the church, see, did not have confidence in the promise of God, she then tried to produce it another way through an act of the flesh. See? And so this is the allegory that Paul is going into in Galatians chapter 4. And we see this. So what I would like to do today, I would like to read from paragraph 58 through 65 of the message preached in 1965, William Branham. And it's called Seed Is Not Heir with a Shuck. And we're going to look at these paragraphs and then take them right back to the Scripture for you. And we'll show you where he's bringing out the things that Paul brought out here. And so let's just begin, if we might. Paragraph 58, he said, here the seed starts then in a promise slightly doubted. Isaac, being the seed of the free and promised woman, brought forth, as Paul was trying to explain here in Galatians, he brought forth the natural promised seed. And he goes on to say here that the bondswoman children cannot be heir with the free woman's children, because they are two of different categories. And that is true. The unbeliever cannot be heir with the believer. There's no way at all. There's where the trouble is today. You can't make a denominational chicken believe like an eagle. You just can't do it. There's where the trouble comes. You've got to believe every word of God. You're not heirs together, neither will you join with them. You cannot do it. You've got to be an eagle or a chicken. It could not be heir with Ishmael, the seed of the bondswoman, because of the doubting. Sarah doubted God's word, and that God was able to keep it. And notice Abraham. You see what I'm building on for Sunday morning. Abraham did not doubt it. Sarah did doubt it. She was the one. It was not Adam that doubted, it was Eve that doubted. So then we'll find out more about this as we pick it up on Sunday morning. Neither can the natural be heir with the spiritual. No more can Ishmael's children be heir with Isaac's children. And no more can the carnal can be heir with the spiritual. Church natural, church spiritual. And there's a church natural that these women here type, and there's a church spiritual also. So the natural church and the spiritual church cannot be heirs together. They're two different separate times, two different separate people under two different separate covenants. That's why the rapture is different and will only be for the royal seed of Abraham. It cannot come by the natural carnal seed of the church. It'll have to be the royal seed of the Word of God through Abraham, the royal seed. And that's why the rapture has to be first, because remember, we which are alive and remain shall not hinder them or prevent those which are asleep, for the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And notice again, it's written, and the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Therefore, they will not be heirs together. They'll not be in the rapture together. There's absolutely a church natural and a church spiritual, a church carnal and a church spiritual. And there is no judgment to the royal, spiritual, predestinated seed of Abraham, for they are predestinated to eternal life. They have accepted God's provided sacrifice, and that sacrifice, which is Christ the Word. And there is therefore now no condemnation, St. John 5 and 24, if you want scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8 and 1, walk not after the flesh, but the Spirit. In Romans 5 and 24, he that heareth my word, and the word hears, understandeth. Any drunkard, anything else, can hear it and can walk away. But he that heareth my word or understandeth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Yes, sir, he that this great mystery of God made known understand how that God was in Christ reconciling himself to the world, how that he and the Father were one, how that the great mysteries of the fulfilling of God taking and bringing himself manifested in the age of human beings and in the stream of human beings and in the company of human beings to make his word manifested in the day in the eastern rising of the sun and to do the same thing as the sun sets in the west to make himself manifested in a bride church, the word made manifest. See, it will. He that understandeth, that is to know, that's been revealed to him, of him that sent me, has everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Then he goes on to say the natural seed was only a carrier of the spiritual. So, in looking at this now, we want to focus our attention then back to the scripture. And you will notice the emphasis here is on the two cannot be heirs together. And this is exactly what Paul has said back in the Alpha ministry of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So looking back again at Galatians chapter 4, let's read verses 28 through 31. He says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now." So Paul was looking back and saying, as it was then, so is it now. See? And any true believer in Jesus Christ will not just look back, but they will look back to see what is happening in their day. See? If you've got, Jesus said, "I am that I am." See? The Father himself spoke to Moses back in the burning bush and he said, "I am that I am." Moses said, "Who is it that I can say is sending me?" He said, "Tell them I am that I am." And Jesus said, the Pharisees, when they were debating with Jesus, they said, you make yourself, I can't remember exactly how it went, but anyway, I'll paraphrase a little bit. They said, "You being not 50 years old, say that Abraham looked forward to your day?" And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." See? Showing it was the same God who come down, stepped in that body of flesh. See? "A tabernacle or a house hast thou prepared me." And so we find then that Alpha is Omega. Always see the scripture, as it was back then, is got to repeat. See? And so we find here it says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac were, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted or made mockery of him that was born after the flesh, even so is it now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondswoman, but of the free." Now, notice then, in particular, verses 20 and 29, the relationship between the two different seeds. Always some sort of conflict, some sort of fussing, some sort of persecution, or as we saw back in Genesis where Paul was taking his thoughts from, we see some sort of mockery from the unbeliever against the believer. See? From a message, actually paragraph 99, 97, the same message, Brother Brown said, just like Paul said here, Did not the seed of the bondswoman persecute the seed of the free woman? And so does the seed of the denominational persecute the genuine grain? Notice it wasn't the sinner. It wasn't the person who was the prostitute or the drunkard that put Jesus on the throne. Put him on the cross. The Bible says, here they crucified him. Here, where? Jerusalem. What is it? The most holy city on earth. They, who? The Jews. Who? The most holy people. The most religious people on earth. Crucified. What? The most cruel form of capital punishment known to man. Him. Who? The Lord of glory. The one that they claim to serve. And isn't it the same thing yesterday, today, and forever? If He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then it will always be the most religious that will do the most persecution to the Lord. Doesn't it tell us in Hebrews chapter 6? It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, Paul's not saying, look, just lay the basics of Christianity, just throw it away. He's not saying throw it away. He's saying just, you've got to have that foundation first. Once you've got that foundation, once you've laid the foundation, then you build upon it. And he told us, I believe it was in Galatians, I can't remember exactly right now, but he says, and there's no other foundation than you can have but the Lord Jesus Himself. See? This Word. For in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See? And so he says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on the hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit. Notice, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened. They had been once enlightened, see? And have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers, that means companions of the Holy Ghost. These were not unbelievers, these were people who were walking in and amongst the message of the gospel. See? And have tasted the good word of God. See? And the powers of the world to come, having fallen away. It says, if, that word, if you look it up, is actually having fallen away. Having deviated from the truth. It is impossible for them to renew them again under repentance. Change of the mind. See? Seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now, how can you crucify to yourselves the Son of God? Well, let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians. We notice in chapter 1, Paul says in verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. See? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. You know, the Bible speaks that He will come in great clouds of glory. And didn't it say in Acts, the first chapter, the people were standing there and they watched Him as He went up in clouds, and the two angels appeared to them and said, do not marvel, for the way He left in clouds is the way He'll return. Did not John in Revelation chapter 1 beginning verse 9? Well, let's just go back to verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. And they also which pierce Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall bewail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. In other words, first coming, second coming to the Lord, which is and was, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle of that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now, how do you see a voice that spake? But notice, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool. See? And his as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flaming fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, etc. And when I saw him, I fell on my face as if dead. He said, behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now we believe with all our heart that the Lord Himself has come down in this hour. The picture, this is actually just a painting for you that aren't aware. There's a picture in Life magazine, 1963, that a cloud came down in the shape of a wig, the head of Christ. And we believe with all our heart that the Bible tells us He'll come in clouds of great glory, a message will sweep forth, and that He will be glorified in His saints, which that word glory means doxa. It's actually God's own opinion, His own assessment, His own judgment of Himself through this word will come into the hearts and minds of the people. And so we find in Galatians, not to get off our subject, but just to give you a little background, we find in Galatians that Paul is saying the seed will not be heir with the shuck. Now from the Laodicea Church Age, the Church Age book actually, page 359, we find that Brother Branham said, we can now see why there are two vines, one true and one false. Now we can see why Abraham had two sons, one after the flesh, who persecuted Isaac, the one born after the promise. And now we can see how that out of the same parents, two boys came forth as twins, one knowing and loving the things of God, and the other knowing much of the same truth, but not of the same spirit, and hence persecuted the child that was elect. God did not reprobate for the sake of reprobation. He reprobated for the sake of the elect. The elect cannot persecute elect. The elect cannot harm elect. It is the reprobates that persecute and destroy the elect. Of those reprobates, those reprobates are religious and they are smart. They are of Cain line, the serpent seed. They build their babels, they build their cities, they build their empires, and all the while calling on God. They hate the true seed, and they'll do all they can, even in the name of the Lord, to destroy God's elect ones. But they are needed. For what is the chaff without the wheat? No chaff, no wheat. But at the end, what happens to the chaff? It is burned with fire unquenchable. And the wheat? Where is it? It is gathered into His garner. It is where He is. Now, in getting back to our thought here this morning, I want to focus our thoughts here on the seed cannot be heir with the shuck. And what I want to do by Scripture this morning is paint a picture for you that you might be able to see the difference between the seed of God and the seed of the devil. Because we find in Matthew chapter 13, the Son of Man went forth sowing seed. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 that seed is the Word of God. And the children that were produced were children of the kingdom or children of Satan's kingdom. See? Because the man in black followed behind, sowing in the same field, the same gospel field, reprobate. See, in other words, taking the word and twisting it. What is a lie, but it's a truth that's misrepresented. See? And what is the worst lie you can think of? It's a lie that's 99% true. Because all the facts are just lined up, bing, 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 except for one. And so when you check out this fact, check out that fact, check out that fact, if you don't check out the one that's wrong, then the whole thing looks like it's truth. You know, it's like you said, a person could say, well, I'll give you this illustration. We saw Brian leave the church at 12:15, and he went out down the road and dropped his family off at Perkins and then left the Perkins parking lot and went down the street and stopped in at Joe's Bar and Grill. And, it might be true. I went out at 12:15, brought my family over, and maybe I dropped them off at Perkins, went next door to get gas. But see, everything up to that point might look like it's true. But then the fact that I went into Joe's Bar and Grill or went in and got drunk or whatever, see, that one piece being off, yet all the other things lined up so it looks like it's true. So the greatest lie is one that's 99% true. See? And that's exactly what Satan only turned one word. He only took one word and changed it. He said not. One little word changed the whole meaning. One little word can change the whole meaning of God's word, of this Bible. So, now, this word then, where Paul said this, the children of the promise cannot be heir with the children of the flesh. See? The seed is not heir with the shuck. This word heir, H-E-I-R, what does it mean? Well, the word is first used by Abraham in Genesis 14 and verse 3, when he is speaking to God about having no son to be his heir. And he was afraid that his servant would become his heir. And then God assures him that the servant is not to be his heir, but an heir is one who has come forth from his own seed, his own life, his own offspring, from his own stream of life. See? In fact, Webster says the heir, it has to do with, or it speaks of ancestry and descendancy and the rights. See? One who is an offspring, however remote. So let's just turn, if we might, to Genesis chapter 15 and follow this through. What does it mean to be an heir? And why is the seed not heir with a shuck? Chapter 15, verse 1, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and no one born in my house is mine heir. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, he's saying, look, the only heir I've got is one who was born in my house, but he's not my seed. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said unto him, and said, look not now forward, and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and counted it for him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee up out of Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, notice especially in verse 7, that in verse 7, God had just finished telling Abraham that his heir must come forth from his own seed, and then he tells Abraham in verse 7 that he has given Abraham the land for his own inheritance. God letting him know from whence he came. In other words, Abraham, a seed of God. See? Because you find that Seth, Adam, son of God. Seth, son of a son of God. And then you go down the lineage, Abraham, see, in that same lineage. The very next time we see this word used in Genesis is chapter 21. So if you turn with me, where Paul utilizes this for his text in Galatians 4. So we find in Galatians chapter 21, verse 9 and 10, it says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking, or making fun of, see? Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, even Isaac. Or she said, shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. See? And what was the mockery? Notice in the earlier verses, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, etc. And she said, but goes on and says, verse 8, the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. So the child went from milk to strong meat. And in the process, Abraham said, good, now that he's eating strong meat, I'm going to make a feast. And so Abraham made this great feast, and little Isaac was beginning, he was eating. And it must have looked awful funny. This little child probably had just a few teeth, two or three teeth, and start trying to eat on this meat. And so Isaac, being about 13 years, Ishmael, being about 13 years at the time, he made fun of it. And he began to mock him. And he probably picked up a piece himself and made fun of the way he was chewing on it, see. And doesn't the natural church always make fun of the spiritual church when they're looking into the meat of God? See? They make mockery because they don't understand what it's all about. See? Now, we even see in the book of Proverbs how God cannot even stand the thought of a servant coming into the place of ruling and reigning instead of a son. It is not even in their nature to do so, and therefore it is considered by God to be a troubling thought, and as the Bible says, it would disquiet or cause trouble in the earth. In the same breath, is also it speaks of a maidservant who would displace the woman she serves or supplant her and become heir in her place. See? In other words, how could she do that? But she take over the husband. See? The man put away his wife for the servant. If we follow this through, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 30. And looking at verse 21 to 23, it says, "For three things the earth is disquieted or troubled, trembled, see? And for four, which it cannot bear. First, it says, for a servant when he reigneth. Secondly, a fool when he is filled with meat. Thirdly, an odious woman when she is married. And fourthly, an handmaid that is heir to her mistress." A servant when he reigneth. Servant's not supposed to reign. Son is supposed to reign. See? A fool filled with meat. And you know what meat is? It's the Word of God. See? Hebrews chapter 5. Now that word fool there is the word Nabal. Actually, Nabal. N-A-B-A-L. Hebrew word. And it actually comes from the root of a word Nabal, which means to wilt or have fallen away. And the word Nabal itself means, the word itself speaks of a wicked and specifically an impious woman, which we always know types of church. So this woman is fallen away, yet she is full of meat and is a repugnant, that's a repugnant thought. We see in Jude that she is feasting with the elect and the bride of Jesus Christ on the same word. We find over in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those